by myself.
I'm reflecting on Anthony a couple weeks, few weeks ago, and our journey here and what we talked about and what he was settling himself to do. And you know, you think you understand. You know, with grief, we always talk about it comes in waves.
Okay? Yes.
And to stand here and to look over there. Not a moment I thought I was going to have it at Tabernacle when I think back a few years ago.
Come on.
God is good.
Yes, it's good.
I thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. I thank you for who you are. Amen. In the body of Christ and his friends and loved ones. It truly is a journey. Boy, what you get flooded with, I always say, standing in this pulpit will bring great humility and settle your spirit in ways that you cannot imagine. So good morning, Tabernacle Baptist Church. Great to see you. And surprise visitors, even though they did not stand as visitors. Love you. Thank you. I didn't know you were coming, of course. And my little ones that I love dearly also. Thank you. Let's have a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, your grace, and the mercy you continue to provide in our lives. We thank you, O Lord, for bringing healing down to our bodies when we know we can't go on. You create the path for us to order our steps and to push forward. You're behind us at times, pushing us forward. You're in front of us, clearing the way. And there's days, O Lord, moments, hours, where you're just carrying us. And we thank you for being there and being present for us. Thank you for the people who are present, the congregants who were able to gather this morning, and also those who are able to be with us virtually. We thank you. And for our sick and shut-in, may you continue to lift them up, touch them, and bring healing to their bodies, O Lord. Bring them peace. Bring them the joy that only you can bring in the morning. They may have put their heads down at night, wondered how will they get through. But Lord, you woke us up this morning, and we rejoice in this new day and just are eternally grateful for all that you continue to be and do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I ask Lord to continue to be with me, my lips, my heart, my spirit, and the pain that is racking my body. That he will bring the comfort down, because I know he will always see us through.
Yes.
This morning I would ask you to stand for our scripture. I'm going to start a little bit before 25. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And may we say together, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Yes. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Our title this morning, "Why Doubt? Walk in Your Dreams."
Amen.
Let's start there where we just have an understanding of what do we mean by some of the language we're using this morning. Doubt, what is doubt? To lack confidence, distrust in abilities, to consider unlikely, uncertainty. Uncertainty of belief or opinion that often interferes with decision making. A deliberate suspension of judgment. A state of affairs giving rise to uncertainty, hesitation, or suspense. I'm sure all of us, I would say most of us, have experienced a time of doubt. Maybe not just a time, but maybe a season of doubt. In general, when people refer to dreams, they think about their thoughts, images, emotions occurring during sleep. Dreams have always intrigued people. The events experienced in dreams are too intense to be ignored. We also have science and psychology that tells us, through research, our new insights in the nature and the causes of dreams. We now have brain scanning equipment that they hook up and it records our mental activity during sleep. It has enabled scientists to determine the occasions and frequency of dreaming. We're going to use a scriptural definition of dreams this morning. Job 33:15 says, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed." The Bible says several things in this one verse. First of all, a dream is a vision at night. The verse also teaches you a dream occurs when deep sleep falls upon men. Psychology note, REM sleep in particular plays an important role in dreaming, memory, emotional processing, and healthy brain development. According to the Bible, a vision is something that occurs when a man is awake, while a dream is something that occurs while man is asleep. So in this chapter, we have where Jesus is healed, he's fed the hungry crowd, fed 5,000. Now he goes into the wilderness. Matthew then reports an incident that reveals the budding faith of Jesus' disciples. Christ walks on storm-tossed waters to join his disciples in their boat. This first stuns them, but then stimulates both worship and faith. Unbelievers like Herod misinterpret miracles. The disciples who believe understand the evidence and realize who Jesus is. It is important that we get alone from time to time to hear God's voice and refresh ourselves physically and mentally. In a section of Matthew, Jesus is withdrawing from the multitudes and spending time alone with his disciples, preparing them for the coming crisis in Jerusalem. Keep in mind that even the disciples at this stage thought in terms of an earthly kingdom. It was necessary that he prepare them for this faith-testing experience that was ahead. Jesus sent the disciples away in a boat. After dismissing the crowd, he went up into the hills alone to pray, sending the disciples into the boat to do two things. He got them away from the crowd, and it gave them opportunity to ponder the significance of what had just happened. But soon, they were in a storm. We have here a beautiful picture of the church today. Christ is on the mountain praying while the disciples are battling the storm on the lake. Today, Jesus is in heaven interceding for us while we fight the storms here on earth. His coming seems a long way off, yet just as the darkest hour, and that's what they said where we are on that boat, and at this time, the fourth hour, 3 to 6 a.m., he came to them. He stilled the storm and took his own safely to their destination. Peter's experience gives us the personal application and thought. Peter could walk on the water. Why? Because he had faith in Christ.
Amen. Come on, man. Yes.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17 tells us. But when he forgot the science and stopped looking into Jesus, looking on to him, he began to what? Sink. Yes. You ever happened to you? You take your eyes off the prize. You take your eyes off Christ. You think you can go do some fun things, or you just gonna let me put this aside. I'm gonna be a little fleshy this week. And you take your eyes off Jesus, and there's some things that start to happen in your life. Yes, yes. So we have to keep our focus. The secret of overcoming the storm and doing the impossible is simply to believe the word of God and keep looking to the Son of God. Yet even when we fall, Jesus graciously helps us. How well prepared Peter was to write, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Don't we just rid our anxiety sometimes just going to that scripture to just rest in it? The present age will be one of storms for the church. Keep in mind that the disciples were in the storm not because they disobeyed Christ. Not because they disobeyed, but because they obeyed him. If we obey the word of God, there will be suffering and persecution. You know, some of us are really falling for some of these things where, oh, just be happy and, you know, just go on and like everything's good. No, there will still be storms in your life. But you know what? He will be with you.
Come on now.
The secret is keep your faith and do not falter.
Come on.
Doubt and fear always go together, and faith and peace always go together.
Sure.
May we not be Christians of little faith. Okay. See, this entire chapter shows us the course of this age we're in. Yeah. See, he says at 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him. 23 tells us after he dismissed them, he went, and what did he do? He went and prayed. He got alone. Do you take time to just be with yourself to listen to God? We pray to God, but do you take the time, you grow in intimacy with him when you just get be still? Be still and know he's God. Isn't it? And you know, we tell the children, he's not Santa Claus. So are you just sitting there and allowing him to fill your spirit? So shortly before dawn, Jesus goes out walking on the lake. You know, we find and they tell us in commentary that they're about three and a half miles out from land. And the Jews call this time the fourth watch, that 3 to 6 a.m. Maybe it's just me, that 3 a.m. hour, it'd be 3:07, 3:13. You're like, really? But you ever had like an epiphany or dream or something that's going on that woke you up? I'm going to ask you to take pause in those moments, because that could be the Almighty touching your spirit. Okay?
Yes.
When the disciples saw him walking, will be a part of our journey and the process, yet move and continue to make progress toward the promise. Keep your faith. Do not grow weary from trying. Do not become paralyzed by people's thoughts and opinions. Stay diligent in His word. The prayer will hold you up. When you step out with your purpose, when you walk in the dream that God desires for you,
let's just say the haters are coming. Jesus said, take courage, because they're going to tell you what you aren't, what you're not, and you're absolutely crazy if you share that dream. Because, it, you know, he said, you're not going to see it. Faith is not by sight. He wants to know that you're going to act on it. Guard your dream, because people will crush your courage and discourage your dream, just like the wind and the waves startled Peter. You know, 20 years ago, a dream was shared with us as a congregation. I remember when he presented the dream to us. And it was about the properties surrounding Tabernacle. He called a member up because she had parts of the dream also. You see how he knits us together in the body? Yeah. One person's at home dreaming, another person's at home dreaming, but it's the same dream that God wants to realize for his body. He intersected the dreams with our shepherd and the dreams of a member to bring a message. Anybody know, remember what that message was? Kingdom building. Kingdom building. Remember the church that was set up here as our reminder, our visual reminder. We need to keep dreams in front of us. Have we locked it away? Have we forgotten the dream? Do you believe in the dream? See, Reverend Thompson was a dreamer. There were conversations you would have with him that would just become absolutely fascinating. And I liked how the member shared, she said, eerie. Because our dreams can become very eerie and troubling and strange, not only to others, but to us. And that's why we have to be careful who we share them with. When you exit there, I want you to look at the land that surrounds us. I want you to give it a pause and a consideration. Do we still believe in that dream? Come on now. Are we willing to revive the dream if we believe in it? Because a dream is a process, a series of continuous actions that leads to a particular result. God will not lift you out of your dream and set you down in the center of fulfillment, because here was something I did not know about this dream until recently. She shared, he said he would not be here when it was fulfilled. So he wasn't giving up. He was preparing us for a dream that God had for us. The children of Israel dreamed of living in the promised land, but the only way to get there was through the wilderness. You see, you will not be able to trust God for the fruition of your dream until you see his faithfulness in the process. Do not despise the process, for that is where we learn to trust God. We discover his power in those Red Sea situations. When we are led by him, there's no signpost. When we get up early in the morning with our eyes fixed on him and moving towards it, is when we can journey through this process. When we refuse to become like the children of Israel who murmured and complained in the wilderness. Are you complaining? Are you murmuring? Are you saying, Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk in what you have for me today? The King, Dr. Martin Luther King. We know we're celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King this weekend and every year. I remember going to D.C. I can still remember Stevie Wonder playing. It was freezing. And we're trudging through the snow, marching for this holiday. The significance of this holiday. Here, I was nothing more than a young adult, but I know people before me that marched with him I remember being in grade school and a teacher bringing the slides to share the marches. Yeah, I said slides. I can still see the clicker, the little rotator thing, and she's clicking it around. I know some of us, some young people, what are you talking about? Right? But I can see it. Do our children today even know who King is? And quit talking about what our children do and don't do, what our youth are and aren't. Are you teaching them? Are you showing them? Are you guiding them? Are you modeling it? Or are you criticizing, judging, and assuming? I heard somebody call this generation a lost generation. Are you kidding me? Millennials are the most educated generation we've ever had. But you know why? And I want them to understand too. Because they stand on the shoulders of the people that marched, that died, that moved forward through the process of a dream. When King died, he had a dream. So let's not forget, and let's pass on who he is in our families, in our community. It's not just going to a gospel celebration, a choir celebration. It's not going to gathering, eating a breakfast and dinner. Us really knowing and studying who Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was and what he represents in our lives today. So here he is. He talks about the kitchen table prayer. Let's not forget, as much as people want to lift him up, there were a lot of people that did not like. See, we're sitting here today. There's leaders we have trying to do awesome work. And we're tearing them down. Well. Don't forget, King was one of those. He had the complainers. He had the haters. Do you remember he came, when the woman stabbed him and he was just, what? Just a minuscule from death. You know, he said if it had just been a slight bit deeper, after the woman stabbed him, he would have died. He was signing books for the public when that happened. But right now, he's at home. He wakes up in one of these at midnight, approximately, and the phone rings, and he picks it up. And the person on the phone says, look, Ian, and I don't say the word, so you fill it in. Look, Ian, we are tired of your mess. If you are not out of this town in 3 days, we are going to blow your brains out. And we're going to blow up your house. He had heard these things before, yet before, it didn't hit him and he didn't feel like he was experiencing it tonight. It really got to him. It's about midnight. He couldn't sleep. He was frustrated and bewildered. We know strange things happen in the late hours of the night. So he got up and went to the kitchen and made himself a cup of coffee. He started thinking about his theological studies and his philosophical work and trying to make sense of sin and evil. And the answer did not come. He thought about his beautiful child, his first daughter at the time, and her beautiful smile. His little darling of his life, and the fact that they could take her from him. He thought about his devoted wife. I could be taken from her. Or her from me. He said, I couldn't take it. I got to a point, I realized I couldn't call Daddy. He was hundreds of miles away, and Mama isn't here. And a voice came to him. You have to call on something. Something you were taught about by your daddy. And that was the power. The power that makes a way out of no way. He discovered religion had to become real and he had to know God for himself. He bowed down over coffee and he prayed out loud. Lord, I'm down here. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm weak. I'm losing courage. I can't let people see me like this. Have you ever felt this way?
Come on now.
Weak, vulnerable, and trying? We see people moving through some really challenging situations like, oh, I couldn't do that, like it was easy. It's never easy. So here he is, trying to continue to move forward with this movement, knowing that lives are at stake. Have you ever felt just lost and wanting to give up? In that moment, he heard an inner voice. You stand up for righteousness. You stand up for justice and stand up for truth. And know I will be with you. He heard the voice of Jesus tell him to fight on. Never leave. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsaken you. I promise never to leave you alone. May I ask, have you taught your children who to call on when you're not around? Have you talked to your loved ones about knowing the saving power of Jesus Christ, the love and the grace that he brings? Do they know they can call on him 24/7 when you're not there? Do they know about his power? And see, he had to go out. He still had to be strong. He couldn't show this because what would people say? Oh, he's gotten what? Weak.
Well,
we will not always be here, so please, and particularly during this King Weekend, if we can do anything in remembrance, bring forth the dream.
Yeah.
Talk about what your experiences were and experiences of people before you. But most of all, remember, all he talked about was his dreams and his life. He said, I've been to the mountaintop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I may not get there with you. Thompson had a dream, and he said, I may not get there with you, but are you going to stick with it? Are you going to do it? Do you believe in this temple he has placed here at home in Broadway? Are you unified in love, not division? Are you willing to listen? Sometimes we think, oh, here they come, when it might just be somebody wanting to share their gifts and a voice. Contribute something that says, I want to help in this body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Let's not label folks and judge folks. Lord. Let's please let them have a voice and let us all gather and be inclusive and use our gifts and find out how we make that happen. Yeah. Because there's plenty here. There's not a few that needs to carry the burden. Moses didn't go out there and try to do it all with God telling him. You need some people.
Yes, ma'am.
Disperse the responsibility. Believe and trust in the Almighty.
Well,
don't wear yourself out.
Come on.
He will not leave you. And there will be dark moments. There are dark hours at some point. And if you had one, haven't had one, well, Mother said, just keep on living. And I had a beautiful conversation with one of our brothers a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this saying and how when we're young, keep on living, we just think, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, I'm always saying that. But what he said was so significant. He said later, you know, but as I age, and we were talking about the significance of it now, he said, as I age, tears flow because I really didn't understand. Just keep on living. Yes, Jesus had his hands stretched out to Peter. The process can be difficult. The road can be tough. The land can be like wilderness, but you will never taste the milk and honey without completing the process. If you are in a situation and you can't find heads or tails, remember you're in a process. The process can be difficult. The road can be tough. The land can be like wilderness, but you will never taste that milk and honey without completing the process. Walk through it and know he is with you. Martha King says, when we break the silence and find that calling to speak, it is often a vocation of agony. But we must speak. We must. We must use our voice and know we have gifts. I was sitting with somebody yesterday in the meeting, and she said, oh, I just had a thought, and I think it's a good thought. Share it. Do not silence the gifts God is giving you. We need to hear from one another and connect with one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. Care for one another. Love, love, love. I can see Sister O'Hara sitting right here. Love, love, love. The body of Christ needs one another. Won't you come? Despite the waves and the wind, will you walk in the purpose God is calling you to do? Allow the Holy Spirit to rise. Mm-hmm. We're deeply in need of a new way beyond the darkness that seems so close around us. We're in a new era. How do we bring that brilliant light and hope and healing to our body? See, King talked about being caught between the ones who told him he was too cautious and then those who condemned him. Are we going to receive criticism? Yes. But that's why we know about prayer. That's why we have to remember he's with us, right? God said we must speak up amidst a system that oppresses our families and communities. Break up the systems that refuse to provide equitable and quality education for our children due to economics and race. Ships drugs and guns to our communities. Praise on those who are seeking what America calls the American dream of home ownership. Did you just see there was a war of $31 billion because they would not give us the opportunity to own homes? Don't be duped. Don't let the media distract you and be fooled and you think, oh, it's just me. The system will allow our people to experience atrocious disparities and die because they can't afford quality health care. Do you honestly believe that individuals in all zip codes are experiencing equitable health care? The same opportunities, resources, accessibility, gaining the same treatment options and living the American dream? And this is whatever city you're in. I ask you, drive your urban area and then drive the peripheral.
Well, come on.
Just look. Mm-hmm. Every block. But then you go into the urban and you're like, where can I get some help? Right? Oh, we're getting to it, right? When will it become intolerable to reduce women to uplift men, to imprison African-American males and foster? When will we foster a generation that will not tolerate injustice and mitigate the perpetual decline of our families and communities? It's sad we believe in what they sell us. Are we being hoodwinked, bamboozled? Yes, Martin King has made progress. We are told, and we buy this too, men don't want relationships, they're no good. 20 plus years of doing relationship, marriages, family, and I tell you, there's some great men out here. There's some good men you walking by. Because they didn't look the way you wanted them to look. They didn't drive the car you wanted them to drive. People always say to me, do you know how blessed you are when they would see William with me? I said, no, you don't know how blessed I am. But you might have walked by because he wasn't packaged the way you wanted him to appear. Don't believe the hype. Serving thousands of individuals through relationship, marriage, family coaching, and programs told me and William otherwise. We all want something better, and we all want to hold on to the hope. But as long as our minds are enslaved, we will never be free. We need to armor up. We must seek the word and learn that our salvation is free. The price has been paid. He suffered and died for us. Don't let it be in vain. He's asking you to be alive in your purpose. Come, realize your dreams. It's not too late. You're not too old. Do you know there's a woman in Congress right now, 89 years old, making a bid to run again? And you sit here and say, oh, I'm too old.
Come on.
Open your Bible. It's the greatest manual of life. You read the stories. I say sometimes, Sarah laughed and laughed, didn't she? Oh, my goodness. But story after story tells us what God did, no matter how old somebody was. Don't give up and say what you can't do. Throw off the bars, shackles, and chains, and stop succumbing to the snares of Satan. Put on the helmet of salvation and withstand the fiery darts of the devil that continue to destroy us, our children, and our families. Yes, he died for us. We are forgiven. Will we walk in it? Will we share the hurt, pain, and shame of our past and walk with him? Believe in him. Have faith that he wants something better for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Eliminate the fear that Satan's putting on you and on your spirit and telling you what you're not. And let God tell you how great you are, wonderfully and fearfully made.
Yeah.
And don't laugh. I mean, sometimes you're wagging your tongue, give criticisms and judgments. Please, lacerating the souls of others. You don't even know the damage you're doing sometimes to others. The hurt and the pain you're contributing to with gossip. Dismissing, negating, and invalidating the feelings of another rather than dealing with your own stuff, as my sister, Dr. Friend, used to tell me. King said, darkness can't put out darkness. Only light can do that. Don't we want more victories and more mountaintop experiences? Dream bigger. Have the audacity of faith. God is calling you. Won't you come? There's a progress he wants. As our second step, pursue. Follow with it with persistence. Look at Joseph. The betrayal of his family. The attempted seduction of Potiphar's wife. The false imprisonment. Joseph's dream carried him all the way to his destiny as the ruler of Egypt. We are talking about God-given dreams that lead to God-honoring results and self-ambition. 30 years ago, see, we look at some of these stars and celebrities. Tyler Perry, 30 years ago, was living in a homeless, he was homeless and living in his car. Now he owns this huge studio that once was Confederate Army base.
Well, come on now. Yes.
He will make dreams out of the most impossible.
Come on.
If we'll just believe. And what he did that I love when he tells the stories, he lined the entrance and the exit to his studio underneath him when they were building and remodeling with the word. He buried Bibles. So as you enter his studios, you enter with the word. And as you leave the studios, see, we remember he did this with faith. When he didn't have anything, he continued and persevered. There will be challenges. There was a time his mama even said, "Now, Tyler, baby, do you need to go get a job?" So third, understand there's promise that comes with that progress, an assurance given by one to another. Joel said, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old man will dream dreams. Your young man will see visions. God has a dream for you. Will you seek him so he can reveal it to you? When he reveals dreams, there's three things. Dreams are specific, not general, personal, not public. God will not give someone else your dream, and you don't need to be jealous of theirs because he has something for you. We can all fill the space. We don't need to steal the light from somebody else. We can all just shine brilliantly together. God can confirm our dreams through others, but he will reveal it to you. When he does, be careful of who you share it with, because sad to say, there's dream Christ followers that are dream killers. Joseph's brothers could not handle his dreams, so they tried to destroy it. Dreams are usually outside the realm of the expected. Often your dream will cause others to say, "You've got to be kidding." Remember, that is their opinion with God. All things. He didn't say some. He didn't say few. He said all. All. He gave me a dream right here. Well, 20 years ago, I'll never forget it. It was so vivid and real, full color. And then he would bring extensions to it. And I was so excited. It was about 2001, and I thought, oh, great. But I was told not a tabernacle, and I felt like, oh, my balloon just been let out. But God said, I told you it's a dream. William and I started doing programs and ministry in our home. Then years later, we have an opportunity to do a program with hundreds of thousands of dollars, nothing I could have ever imagined, to implement the program that people were laughing at me about. I said, I'm going to bring the whole family in. We're going to teach the children and the parents. And we're going to teach relationships so that those can be modeled in front of the children. We're not doing babysitting child care. We're going to stop these pathologies that perpetuate each generation and give them the tools and skills that we didn't have. Girl, you're crazy. They won't even come to an after-school program. Every single workshop, class, and event for 4.5 years, as I look at one who worked so hard, she's like, yeah, they did. They came. They came full every single time. Waiting list. We had to start putting tables after one event to let them sign up because they said, if I go home, I call, and then they tell me the class is full. Don't tell me what families won't do. Will you bring hope and equip them with the tools and skills that they need? Quit banishing them and rejecting them and telling them what you want and what you need. Meet them where they are because they have dreams. They may need help in learning how to navigate and walk the journey, but isn't that okay? Didn't we all need help? And that's okay. What do you dream about? Are you a risk taker? Because dreamers are risk takers. Walking boldly despite the laughs and people telling you you're out your mind. Jesus is calling you. Do you have enough faith to go? Would you really be Peter or the one talking about him? Could you be Abraham and let it all go? Oh, I know you know the word. I know many of you know the word. I'm asking you, are you willing to live it? Are you willing to believe it and step out in faith for the greatness he has for you? What do you dream about? What has God enabled you to see that does not exist? You will never outdream God. Catch the Caleb spirit. Give me the mountain. Catch the Joseph spirit. Come out of the ditch. Catch the Paul spirit and break free of the bars that hold you down. Catch the Gideon spirit. Fill your lantern. Catch the Moses spirit and find your voice.
Come on.
Dare to be like Martin. Go to the mountaintop. I have a dream. Can you say that for me? I have a dream. I have a dream. God did not stop speaking with you. He speaks with you. He speaks with me. Will you walk in it? Don't let nobody turn you around. Will you decide nobody will keep you from God and what he has for you and walk in his purpose, realize the dreams? I'm just crazy enough to believe it. God will never leave you or forsake you.
Come on, yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen.
I know those moments. It is only through the grace of God.
Yes.
Get you through.
Yes.
Will you dare to walk in it? Will you let nobody turn you around? Amen. Nobody turn you around. We know this. Do we know that song? You heard this song. You know, they marched with this song. Now, I can't sing. I always tell Mike and them, you know, I can't carry a tune. The joke was I learned a song, and William was like, see, you did it. You did it. My mom said, you know what, baby? I knew love was blind, but I never knew it was deaf.
Well,
that's love. But so I'm gonna dare to do something I can't believe I'm gonna do.
Come on.
Don't let nobody turn you around.
Turn you around.
Turn you around. Don't let nobody turn you around. Turn you around. Turn you around. Don't you let nobody turn you around. Keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on freedom ground. And what did he proclaim? What did our great Martin Luther King proclaim? Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. It's 2023. Will you choose to be free in 2023? Will you walk in what God has for you? Will you kick off the shackles of shame? Will you reduce and get rid of the pain of the past and say, I know God's got me. You know, they always say, turn to your neighbor. I want you to speak to you right now. Say, God's got me. Say it, God's got me. I can do this in Christ because I am worthy. Quit letting people tell you what you're not. You have value in Christ. Walk in it. Because in this season of life, I want to say to you, you know, when you age, it was one thing to shut me up at 40. You ain't shutting me up now, okay? Because I'm not going to die with my life being in vain. We got people dying every day. I have friends losing their adult children. This is not about age. Tomorrow is not promised. Will you come? Will you come to him? Maybe you've given your life to Christ, but you're still carrying those burdens. Bring them to the altar. Release them. Let them go. If you don't know Christ, quit putting everything in people and come to him and let him lead you and guide you today. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. When I almost let go, God reached down and grabbed me and held me close. When the pain was racking my body, as it was when I stepped up here, he came through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Tabernacle. Let's go forward. Will you come to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.